Petersburg. We're so excited about all the different outreaches and, of course, our Christmas play. We'll talk more about that after the service. But amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Wow. It doesn't seem like October is almost gone. It's kind of amazing how fast things are going. I want to talk to you tonight about the goodness of God. You know, the days we are living in, it's like sometimes a dark, cloudy day. Pastor Deb and I lived in Pennsylvania, 21 years, Scranton. During the winter time, I would say 6 out of the 7 days were cloudy. In fact, we were watching a TV show. It's an old Western type of thing, and the sun was out. And I said, guess what? We can see the sun on the television. There was actually a restaurant that when the sun does come out, they put up this sign. What is that big red, yellow thing in the sky? I began to think about how that God's goodness sometimes can be clouded in our lives. And it's hard, you know, it's not easy living every day cloudy, cloudy, cloudy. Now, you could look at cloudiness, depression, discouragement, hardship, but it's almost like a contradiction. It's almost like, you know, God, you are so good, but what are these clouds all over our place, the nation and my life? What are these clouds? Because it seems like, you know, the sun of God's goodness sometimes doesn't shine as bright as we want to. I want to talk about that because I believe we're living in a time where people need to hear how good God is. You know, sometimes the simplicity of who God is escapes us. We want a deeper revelation or a deeper type of knowledge of God, and I understand that. But basically, I want to walk in how good He is. I don't want to wake up with clouds. I don't want to wake up, and if there is clouds, no, I know this, there's a sun behind it. And isn't it interesting? No matter how cloudy the days are, that sun is going to win out one of those days. You got to wake up. The sun's out today. The Son of God, God's goodness, always wins over all the things that try to cloud our life. Now, I want to talk a moment about Moses. You know, Moses saw the power of God deliver the children of Israel. He saw the power of God bring plagues. And I've always wondered why, after they've crossed the Red Sea, after they've been around in the wilderness a little while, I always wondered why Moses asked God to see His glory. I began to think, well, Moses, didn't you see His glory at the Red Sea? I mean, how much more do you want to see? And I began to realize that sometimes our understanding of who God is limited to just His power. Really, it was the power of God. Sure, it came through glory. But Moses said, you know what? I just happen to believe that you are more than just power. A nuclear power plant is power. There's something that's motivating your power. And it's not just because you want to show miracles. And so Moses says, you know what? I want to see what your glory is. You know, God loves it when we inquire more about Him. Never forget this, that in my prayer time, God is yearning for us to ask Him more about Him. Thank God we know about the end times, we know about this, but He loves it. Lord, I want to know more about You personally. And God will answer that prayer speedily. So God, here in Exodus 33, He answers Moses after Moses said, show me Your glory. Exodus 33:17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that You have spoken. Now, how many want that assurance that when you come to God, He says, I'm going to do what You just asked me? What? Hallelujah. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. You know what? God wants to know us by his name. And how do we know that God knows our name? We spend time with them. Have you ever hung around somebody, and there might be somebody in the church, you still don't know their name yet? Amen? Every once in a while I see somebody, I've seen them a few times, maybe they just start coming, I don't know their name yet. But you know what, if I took that person to the coffee bar, which someday we'll have open again, and talked to them, well, what's your name? Well, it's Joan, it's Fred, it's Harry. You see, intimate relationship with Christ is what God wants. He said, Moses, I know you by name. And then Moses said, again, the second time, he had said it before, I beseech you, show me your glory. Second time he's asked that. And God said, and this is so important. Turn to somebody and say, this is important. I will make all my goodness pass before you. Wow. He didn't say, I'll make all my power. I'll create a new star. I'll do a great miracle. I'll raise the dead. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this world needs goodness, graciousness, and a whole lot of mercy. Said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. Now, this is a definition of goodness. The absolute, honest, righteous, moral, merciful, and faithful character of God. There is no shadow of turning with God. He is good. He is truthful. He is righteous. He is moral. He is merciful and faithful to us. Goodness is expressed in his kindness to us. God is a kind God. I said God is kind. The world tries to portray God as impersonal, but God is kind all the time. Psalm 31:19 says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you've laid up for them that fear you, what you have wrought for them that trust in you before the sons of men. I love this. Great is your goodness laid up. I remember growing up, my mom would go to the store. I don't know, it was Grant's or Kmart. I don't know if they had Kmart back then, but she'd go maybe in August and put things on layaway for Christmas. It was laid up there. David said, there's goodness laid up. What that tells me is there's more. There's more goodness for you and I. The goodness of God comes many ways. It comes with favor. It comes with open doors. It comes with a revelation of who Jesus is. He said, your goodness is great and it's laid up for those. Oh my goodness, how many want some of that goodness released this year? See, it's a good thing when prodigals come home. It's a good thing when my mind is at peace. It's a good thing when God gives me a godly husband or wife. It's a good thing when I'm able to get up in the morning and praise God. It's a good thing when I have found my destiny in God. You see, goodness comes in many ways, and all those things are wrapped in God's mercy. Isaiah 63:7, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed upon us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. What was one of the great goodness towards the house of Israel? That out of the house of Israel would come the Messiah. Jesus is the epitome of God's glory, Hebrews 1:3. So Israel was chosen for the greatest goodness to come out of a nation, and that's from the seed of David, our Lord Jesus Christ. Great goodness. How many want some great goodness? We cannot allow the clouds of today. What is the one Peanuts character? Is it when he always has a cloud around him? You know, it's very easy, even as believers, to live that way. Watch what you say. Listen to yourself. Because either it's partly cloudy, partly sunny, either the cup is half full or half empty. You see, I don't want to have to deal with clouds of my own making. I want to think about how good he is, how far he's brought me, that I've done nothing for him. It's all been his grace. Paul said, I labored more abundantly, but not I, but the grace of God. I can take credit for nothing. And to see how patient he's been with me. Listen, I'm going to tell you a secret. Not all believers will be patient with you. But God will be. Amen. He's not finished with anybody yet, but he's good enough to finish us. Isn't that amazing? 2 Thessalonians 1:11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of God. Good pleasure of his goodness. We are here to glorify God and to bring him pleasure. We're not here for our own pleasures. We're here because he's so good that if I'll delight myself in him, he will arrange the desires of my heart to please him. Isn't that what life's about? I've spent enough years pleasing myself. I've spent enough years trying to please men, which is impossible. Paul said here, he said, the good pleasure of his goodness. And then, of course, Psalm 27:13, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I guarantee you that's probably this year most pastors' favorite verse, most churches' favorite verse, that we would have fainted, we would have given up, we would have said, this is too hard, unless we believed to see something. Not just believe and not see it, but believe and walk in it. You know, God wants us to see. If I see something, I experience something. I perceive something. He said, I would have fainted if I hadn't believed that these clouds weren't going to go. If I would have listened to the group over here saying the clouds are here forever, I would have fainted. If I hadn't believed that God is in control of everything, that he is sovereign, and he knows everything before it even happens. If I did not believe to see the sun come out, I would have fainted. God wants us tonight to understand there's goodness laid up for you. You and I have experienced goodness, but like Moses, there needs to be a hunger in our hearts. We've seen the power of God in our lives. We've seen the deliverance of God in our lives. We've seen how he's brought us a long way. But like Moses now, he wants us to say, Lord, I know there's more about you. I know that I don't know you as much as you want to me to know you. Would you just show me your glory again? And the Bible says God took Moses and put him in the cleft of the rock. He put him in Christ. And God passed by. He says, Moses, I'm so good. You can't even see my face. My goodness is so wrapped up in my compassion and mercy and light and truth. You can't even look. I can't even You will die if I don't cover you. That's how good I am. And sometimes we've settled for little drops of God's mercy and goodness, and he's saying, what? I've got so much more for you. I've got a kingdom for you. Paul said, whether life or death or Apollos, it's all ours. And he's given it to us to enjoy because we enjoy him. The problem that God has is, number two, the things he's given man to enjoy have become idols, and they enjoy them more than they enjoy God. It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy things. The problem is when we cross over and we enjoy God less and less and enjoy things more. That's not a person that's going to receive another dimension of goodness. But if God could ever find a people, a congregation, if God can ever find a Mary to sit at his feet and say, Lord, you know, I'm not after anything. I'm not even after an anointing. I'm after you. I'm not even after a position. I'm after you. I'm not even after a new car. I'm after you, Lord. That car means nothing without you. A position in the church means nothing if your presence doesn't go with me. And that's what Moses said. He said, Lord, are you going to send us? Who are you going to send us with? God said, an angel. Moses said, I don't want an angel. I want you. I'm not interested in a mansion in heaven if I've not pleased you here. I'm not interested in going to heaven living forever if I've not done the will of God here. If I've not sought you, if I've not pressed through the cloudy days and nights, if I've not been a light to others, why do I want to go to heaven now? I want to press through the clouds. Moses was a wise man. David was a wise man. David said, you know, I'm about wore out with Saul trying to kill me. He never picked up a spear, but he was tried like gold. To say David didn't have any cloudy days, they figure about 13 years running from Saul, living in caves. To say that he didn't have to believe he would see God's goodness, how about the Apostle Paul? All that he went through. I just tell you that there's more goodness laid up for you and me we've not walked in yet. Can God find a people that we just step back and say, the Lord is good. We didn't bring the revival. God is good. We didn't fill the church. God is good. God might have used us, but God is good. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. God help us to want another deposit of goodness. Every good and perfect gift is from above. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And he that findeth a husband finds a gooder thing. Amen. That's not scripture. Hallelujah. I just stuck it in there. But anyway, every good gift. Every child is a good gift. Every toddler, every teenager is a good gift from God. Man doesn't see people like God sees them. God sees them as objects of his creation that he loves, that he wants to be good to. Not only is supplying, not only providing for his household is a primary priority of a father, but the second one after that is to be good to his kids. Sure, they got to be corrected. But at the end of the day, and when that child leaves home and goes to college, they know that father was good to them. Even if there was times of struggle, rebellion, and correction, taking the car, they know when they drive away, if you boil it all down, Father was good to me. And why do children need that? Because when they go out into a cruel world, they'll find out real quick, you've got one Father. And nobody's going to love you like your mama loves you. Now you come home that first Thanksgiving, and you see it in their eyes. They're like, wow, how good did I have it here at home. God wants us to withdraw some more goodness tonight. And if you're watching tonight and there's clouds all around you, I want to tell you something. The sun's still shining behind those clouds. Jesus Christ came to show the goodness of God, and he promises life to you. And you can have that eternal life if you'd pray this prayer with me. Just say this, Lord Jesus, that's right, come into my heart. Forgive me from all sin. I believe you died and rose the third day. I accept you tonight as my Lord and Savior. Roll away the clouds of sin and let the sunshine of your goodness touch my heart. I believe in you. I receive you in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, could you just visit our website, rockchurchpetersburg.org, and we'd love to correspond with you. May God's goodness be revealed from this day till you meet him face to face. God bless you tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a shout tonight.